Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Monday, it's a new episode of All Rise, the legal drama where one judge is shaking up the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor,
we're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench, everything is different.
A new episode of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake. It's important.
Followed by a new episode of Bull, Monday at 9, 8 central on CBS.
Hackers are after your business data. I can help. I am Vi, the virtual intelligence assistant at Virtual Armor.
Virtual Armor, partnered with Juniper Networks, provides cybersecurity services and end-to-end solutions to keep what's yours, yours. Defend yourself with managed firewall and managed SIM essential core services that are economical and efficient. Virtual Armor goes beyond just initial alerting to provide a thorough report on threats, vulnerabilities, and results.
Let me help protect you. Contact me at justaskvi. That's vi.com.
The following is an exclusive presentation of the Carolina Panthers and the National Football League.
Yeah! Touchdown!
Panther!
This is Panther Talk with head coach Matt Rhule, presented by Morris Jenkins. When your plumbing or air conditioning is acting up, call Morris Jenkins or visit morrisjenkins.com.
Good snap, good spot, and the kick is away. This kick is no good, just short.
That was good.
Right down the middle and just a little short.
My challenge for them was, regroup, come back, play Thursday night. Get to the halfway mark of the season and see if we can't be one of those teams coming down the stretch that people have to look out for.
And now, along with Jim Zocchi and Eugene Robinson, here's Mick Mixon with Panther Talk, live from the Panthers broadcast facility at Bank of America Stadium.
Just exactly like that Joey Sly 65-yard field goal, the Panthers' effort in New Orleans fell just short yesterday. It was a narrow loss to a good football team, the New Orleans Saints. While we wait on Coach Matt Rhule wrapping up some local media to join us on Panther Talk, it's our broadcast roundtable brought to you by Geico. Great news, there's a way you can save big. You switch to Geico, go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. With Jim Zocchi, Eugene Robinson, it's Mick, Jeannie Rob and the Zoke. How impressed were you both that the Panthers were able to play another clean, efficient, low mistake, low penalty, no turnover game, taking care and tidying up some of the issues that had plagued Carolina against Chicago the week prior?
I think you're absolutely right. I think that one of the things that we've been proven to do is play clean football, and it's been progressing, ever since we started, 0-2. And it's been getting better and better. And the other thing that you really like about this team, not only the clean football that's being played, but the energy and competition level, too. I mean, every game that they've played so far, they've been in the game. I mean, they've really been in the game, and if it not for a play here or a play there, we could be looking at a team that would have four or five wins. And so I like what Coach Rhule is selling. I've really been enjoying the game, but I think that there's so much more to us that's going to unfold.
I agree with what you both said in terms of just when you don't have big turnovers, you have one penalty for 5 yards, you play clean football, that's going to leave you in a lot of opportunities to win games. And I thought that was another example of that yesterday.
Matt Rhule joins us now live on the Matt Rhule Show, brought to you by Morris Jenkins. Coach, how much time did you spend with your team with the loss to New Orleans? And what was your message about yesterday's game to your ball club?
The coaches on each side of the ball, they went through, key corrections and things we had to, address from yesterday's game. I always have a team meeting. I had a team meeting today, and I addressed, some of the things from yesterday and then looked ahead. And that's kind of how I approach each and every week, So I truly believe that there's always truth, both good and bad in wins and losses. And I think it's what great teams do is that they find the truth regardless of the outcome. And so for me, it was, hey, here's the things we have to improve upon. Here's the things I liked that we did well. And the overall message was, look, we didn't do a great job on defense on third down. Offense, we had the ball with a chance to go win. And you know what? We've had a chance in three of our four losses. We've had the ball in our hands at the end of the game with a chance to go win the game. And so, you know, we've had three last shots. And so we're not the team we want to be yet. We have to continue to improve. But look how great of a job we're doing it. It's still being in the game and still having these exciting games. And so let's just all improve just a little bit and turn these tight losses into tight wins.
And, Coach, we know that one of the biggest stats as a defense is always third down percentage. How are you able to get off the field or stay on the field? And I know that you said you guys are working on that, and there's been some things that may have contributed to this. Coach, have you been able to outline a pinpoint, put your finger on what exactly is going on with the third down situations, whether it's third down 11 or third down 7, third down 4?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's one of those deals where it's kind of a different thing at different times, you know. And so, you know, it's a holding. I mean, we stop them, and it's a holding call. It's man to man, and you know, we get, you know, they catch the ball for 6 yards on third and five. It's being in third and short, you know, and us not being efficient stopping the run, you know, on tight plays. So I think it's really, to be honest with you, it's a myriad of different things. And, you know, at the end of the day, we just have to do it better. And I know that's, you know, sometimes that's like the hard way to look at it, but that's the only way to look at it is coaches, players, everybody, we have to be better on third down defense. And, you know, we brought pressure, we played zone, we attacked a bunch of different things. I think if there's one consistent, I would say it's tackling. You know, when you have someone in third and 14 and they throw a shallow cross, we have to be able to get the ball carrier down. And I think if we tackle better, especially if we tackle the back better, we have a better number there.
And Coach, a quick follow-up. Is that maybe because of youth and the fact that this is a very, very young, energetic team defensively?
Yeah, I think, you know the message I always have is, you know, there's a standard of being a Carolina Panther. And so I tell the guys, like, I don't care if you're young or old, this is how you have to play. Now, that being said, I also tell the young guys, you know, learn from these things. You know, I saw we're getting on the plane and guys are walking by me and a couple guys are, you know, young guys are a little bit, you know, beating themselves up. And I say to them, hey, listen, you know, take today as a lesson. Like, you're going to play these guys for the next 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years, twice a year. And the game came all the way down to the wire. We had a chance to win the game. So go back and learn from it. And that's the message to me is, hey, there can't be an excuse. Young guys have to play like vets. Everybody has to play to the same standard. Yet you can also, as a young player, learn from it. And that's what I hope that we did. And that's why we spent time talking about the game today.
Coach, of course, an unusual week when you come off a road game, and now you've got a Thursday game against Atlanta. So kind of a two-part question as far as you getting on the practice field today. A lot of folks obviously out there listening, interested in hearing whatever update you're able to provide on where Christian McCaffrey is right now in his recovery. And then also kind of take us through what today was about on the practice field and how you work these next 2 days coming up, getting ready for that Thursday game.
Yeah, today was, you know, an introduction for our first and second game plan. That's usually how we break it down. We do one day first and second down, one day devoted to third down, one day devoted to the red zone. And so today was a day devoted to first and second down game plan, you know, running the ball, play actions, all those different things. We're fortunate and they're fortunate that we both played each other, you know, two weeks ago, whatever it was. So, you know, I think we all are pretty familiar with the, you know, the personnel. So that was kind of the focus. And in terms of Christian, you know, he was out there today. Obviously he's not able to practice. He's still on IR. You know, he's chomping at the bit to come back. And so, you know, as soon as they release him, I'm going to use him. And, I trust our medical people and I trust him, you know, that they won't let him come back until he's ready. And so if he's ready this week, great. If not, if it's next week or the week after, whenever it is, you know, we're going to roll. But it was great to have him back on the field with us.
Matt Rhule on Panther Talk, presented by Morris Jenkins. Coach, it's been fun getting to know a little bit about your coaching style and how you think and how you coach and how you strategize. Situation like yesterday, 4th and 18 or whatever it was, and then a long field goal by Joey Sly. How much does Matt Rhule, the head coach, rely on intuition in that situation versus your metrics and kind of what you've pre-planned going into the football game?
Well, I think it's, you know, Bill Gates once said information is the reduction of uncertainty. So, you know, we start every game and we say, you know, hey, what's the field goal line and what's the, you know, end of game, end of half field goal line. And so, you know, you say, hey, it's, you know, it's 47, 48 yards end of game. It's, you know, the 40 middle of the game. And you have that information kind of going in, right? Obviously, it being a dome, it makes it much more constant. And then you have just percentages in your head of, you know, here's what the average fourth and five is, fourth and 10 is. And so that's a, you know, that's not a, that's a difficult situation to be in. You know, at the end of the day, I know this, I know Joey Sly, if he hits it right, can kick a ball that far. So, we put it on his shoulders. He stood up for his team and he was willing to go out there and take a shot at it. And I thought he took a great shot. So, but yeah, I think that, you know, that all comes down to, hey, you know, what the numbers are ahead of time, the planning, and, now, you don't ever want to go off completely off gut feel, but I do want my players to know that I trust them. And I gave Joey the shot, and I thought he took his best shot.
And, Coach, you know that players could be so introspective and take on more burden than what they sometimes should. So what was your message to Joey Sly? Valiant effort, just missed by a yard, if you will. What was your message to him, Coach?
I thanked him for going out there. You know, to me, I believe in the courage it takes to step out on the field and have everybody watching you, to be the proverbial, you know, man in the arena. And I know that the courage it takes. And so I looked at him and said, can you make it? And he said, yes. And you know what? He can make it. And he almost did make it. And so I appreciate guys that step out. It's so much easier for guys to kind of hang in the periphery and play. But what I love is I love the guys that step out there and want the ball in their hands to take the last shot. And he went out there and he took a great swing at it. So I said, hey, I appreciate you. We'll get it next time. And that's the approach I think you have to take. And I hope when you do that, you hope that your players will always go out there and go to battle with you.
Phil Snow said during his Zoom press conference last week to keep an eye on Brian Burns the next 5 to 6 weeks is the time frame he put on. He said this kid's about ready to take off the way he's been playing the last few weeks. And then he goes out and gets his third strip sack of a quarterback of this season, only 7 games in. So, Matt, what do you see out of Brian Burns that he's playing at almost an elite level right now in terms of his development?
Well, I'm very pleased with Brian. And the thing that I said to him is, and I think it's what I love about him is, you know, the key for him is to be a complete and total dominant player. You know, as a pass rusher, you can be dominant 3, 4, 5 snaps a game, and that's all it takes, and people notice you. But, you know, Brian wants to be so much more, and we're using him in so many different ways. You know, he dropped and almost tipped the ball yesterday. We're dropping him. We're rushing him. We're playing, you know, he's fitting gaps. He's playing linebacker. He's doing so many different things. And what I want from him is I want him to be dominant 20, 25, 30 plays a game. And I want him to be dominant versus the run. And that's what he wants. And so I like the way he's approaching that. I like the way he's not just being, you know, not just being okay with the great things that he's doing, but trying to do more. I mean, that to me is the key to being a great player. And he's trying to do it.
Fantastic, Coach Rule. Appreciate you so much. Continue good luck in this season, and good luck in your preparations too for Atlanta Thursday night.
Thank you, Coach.
Thanks, guys.
All right, that is Matt Rule. Fun to talk to Matt Rule about football. And it's the Matt Rule Show brought to you by Morris Jenkins and Zokin and Jeannie Robster, and I will come back with more. We'll continue with our broadcast roundtable, and I have a story to tell on Eugene that I've gotten past, but it's still left somewhat of a mark, and it has to do with the game yesterday. That'll be next on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
The Panthers play here. News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. This is Panther Talk, presented by Morris Jenkins on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
On second and long, Bridgewater from a clean pocket. Leans back, goes long, wide open receiver Moore. He catches it and will score a touchdown. The long bomb to DJ Moore.
We're obviously hurting right now, so finding the positives is a little bit hard. You know, there's a lot of missed opportunities out there. It's like any game, though. You go back, you watch the tape, there'll be lots of good things on the tape. There'll be lots of things we need to improve. But, you know, I'm always proud of our effort. I thought our guys gave great effort. I thought they tried to improve during the week. And But, you know, at the end of the day, we just we came up short.
Panther Talk, presented by Morris Jenkins, continues on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
Yes, it does. Mick, along with Zoke and Jeannie Robb, and it was nice to have Matt Rhule on the show last segment. But now, getting back to me.
Panther Talk with Mick Nixon.
As I frequently say, I don't coach the team from the press box, although there have been Sundays around here where that's not the worst idea that I ever heard. So a couple of years ago, I'm thinking New Orleans,
For previous years.
Not this regime.
I'm trying to help you before something bad happens to you.
Talking about the old regime and then the George Seifert. Before
years.
That, right, a long time ago. Right. So a couple years ago, I'm thinking New Orleans Saints, Sean Payton, Drew Brees, they're scripted, they're highly efficient, they come out, make you look like you're on rollerblades, and they almost always go 75 yards in 13 plays, zip, 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 crowd going wild, 7-0 Saints, before you even touch the ball. There's a chance, though, to avoid that, and that is if you win the coin toss, take the ball. Don't defer. Don't just rely.
Defer.
So I lay all this out for Eugene Robinson, my buddy, my sidekick, my trusted confidant.
That's my man,
on
Mick.
The practice field. And he says, exactly what he said. He says, Mick, I like the way you think, man. Mick, I like the way you think about football, man. That's a good idea.
That's a great idea.
That's what
Mick.
The Panthers should do. So then we have Coach Rivera on Panther Talk. And so I go through the whole thing. I lay it all out for Coach. Coach Rivera looks at me like I've just, you know, come from the chemistry lab or from taking the continuing education classes in art design or something. And he says, Mick, don't quit your day job. We're going to defer. And so, before I can even say that this is my day job, Eugene says, I'm with Coach Mick.
It was crickets. I'm with Coach Mick. And Mick had that look, that puzzled look on why I'm not with him. Like, dude, I am with the coach. There you go.
You turned on him.
I turned
you
on him.
You turned on him.
I did. You synced it. I turned on him. That's it. I love you, though, Mick.
Well, I thought we had each other's back.
We do.
All for one for all.
We
Panthers
do.
On three. We do, except when you're wrong, or at least coach thinks you are.
Yes.
My God.
There you go.
Wow. So that's it for that segment. But
I thought you're holding a grudge about something that happened a number of years ago.
No.
Yeah, I've moved past it for the most part.
Thanks for bringing it up, Mick.
Injury updates. We can all agree on these. Injury updates are brought to you by Ortho Carolina, and they are. So John Miller, ankle injury, and Russell Okung with a calf injury were among those not practicing today. Coach mentioned Christian McCaffrey out there but not cleared off IR to be able to do any of the practicing yet. Your personalized orthopedic care begins with the click of a mouse. Schedule your next appointment online at orthocarolina.com. Ortho Carolina, your care, your way.
No, you know I love both you guys. But in search of a player, a former player who would not turn on me, I got Jake DeLome on the phone a little while ago. This will be exciting.
That too could be dicey for you.
Yeah, we're going to, and it might just be. We're going to check in with Jake, see what he thought about Teddy Bridgewater's performance in the game, et cetera. It's all next when Panther Talk continues. This is the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
This is Panther Talk, presented by Morris Jenkins on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
Now the Panthers are going to go quickly. Varying the tempo. Samuel, over left tackle, touchdown, Carolina Panthers.
Oh, you know, our mindset, just play all four quarters. No matter what the score is, play all four quarters like it's the beginning of the game. You know, we got to finish the game out. That's our mindset. You know, we gave ourselves a chance at the end of the game. We just got to do a better job of executing. But, you know, we're going to come back tomorrow and figure it out, watch film, you know, move on to next week.
Back to Mick Mixon, Jim Zoghi, and Eugene Robinson with Panther Talk, presented by Morris Jenkins on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
Panther Talk on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network. Mick Mixon with great Jake DeLome, former Panther QB, Louisiana native, and, of course, member of the last year's Hall of Honor. Jake, I look at your sign. I can look out the window right now of our studio and see your name on the facade as the light's starting to fade here. What does it mean to you, and does it mean even more when a few months go by and a year has gone by now that you're a member of the class of the Hall of Honor and so important to so many people up here?
You know, I don't think it it ever goes away. And, you know, to be quite honest, this year, not being in the stadium and not being around, I missed the, you know, just being involved and being around. But two, that was pretty darn special. To see the name up there last year, to say the least. And it's something I took great pride in. I still do. And it's just I still pinch myself sometimes when I think about it, to be honest.
Well earned on your part, of course. Did you? I know you were traveling this weekend, Jake. Have you had a chance to go back and look at a little bit of the Panthers and the Saints from yesterday?
Yes, I was able to go back and watch it. I caught some of it yesterday when I got back, and I finished up watching. And you know, it's like this team's so close, and it's like they're close to turning it around. And Mick, I'm gonna be honest with you, I'm not so sure I expected us to. And I hate to use this word. We're better than I thought. I didn't know what we've got some talent, and we play hard. You're seeing some different play out of guys that maybe I didn't see that last year. And I'm watching these guys play with a kind of a, it's like they're better. They're playing better than what I remembered seeing them last year. And some, yes, is youth, but even guys that, well, I'm not so sure how much he can help us. And I'm watching them play. I'm like, wait a minute, this guy wasn't like that last year. So you're kind of seeing some progress. Now you'd like to see progress on the scoreboard. And I truly believe it's coming.
Would Brian Burns fall into that category for you, Jake?
He's at the top of the list, but Mick, last year he started out really, really good for us. And then when he had that club on his hand, he was around the quarterback, the ball, so many times. He would try to grab a ball carrier, and he just couldn't grab because he had a club on his hand with the broken hand. And I think that affected him tremendously. But he gained 15 pounds from last year to this year. He looks just as fast, and his pass rush moves are just getting better and better. And he is going to be a big-time force as the season goes on, but as the next couple of years start to go on. He is that guy just because of his length, his leverage, his speed, and his closing ability on the ball carrier, but more so on the quarterback.
The famous Jake DeLome on Panther Talk with us. What do you see in Jake in Teddy Bridgewater?
I'm seeing a quarterback that's better than I thought. I thought we would have a, and I use the word a bunch, distributor of the football because of the weapons that we had. He looks like he's a guy we can maybe hang our hat on for some years to come. And I read an interesting quote from Sean Payton this morning in talking about Teddy's performance yesterday. And Sean came out and said, Teddy moved better and faster than I ever remember him moving in New Orleans. And that's a testament to Teddy's work ethic, the way he's gotten his body to play, what the training staff and the strength staff is doing with him. And maybe it's taking time for the whole knee injury deal to come around and the confidence that he's playing with, but he's certainly looking good.
What are you hearing and what credit do you assign, Jake, to the Panthers having maybe exceeded some expectations through seven games about Matt Rhule's ability to build consensus, to scheme, to strategize, and to get all this organized?
Well, one, the team believes in him. That's evident. That's evident the way they play. He has an edge to him when you watch him on the sidelines, when you watch him during the course of the game. I've gotten some clips on Panthers.com of him mic'd up during the game and listening to him talk to guys. And the one thing that I like the most, and I think players embracing this, is that, hey, figure it out. We got to figure it out. Let's go. And it's like a collective effort, but he is a belief that he has in these players. And it's like they're believing in themselves more. And that goes a long way as a player when you have a coaching staff that believes in you. Because we've had to play many, many guys due to injuries this year. And it's kind of a next man up mentality. But just the edge that he brings, and the little bit I was able to see of camp when we do the remote videos, but watching him on the field, watching this whole staff on the field, they're into it. Like they're practicing with the players. There's something about it. It's just an energy. And that's carrying over on the field. And you're seeing that week in and week out.
The Atlanta game, Jake, seems like it's just a huge milepost with the ability for the Panthers, if they can handle it, to get to 4-4 at the halfway point. How would you handicap this matchup with Atlanta coming in here Thursday night?
Well, listen, you're going to have a team that's extremely – they're down right now. There's no two ways about it. To lose the game like they did yesterday and then to be able to come in on a short week. Now, Raheem Morris is going to try to get this team turned around as quick as possible, just forgetting about the game against Detroit, get them ready to go, division opponent, national TV and all that. And they have a quarterback who I'm a big fan of. And Julio Jones, we all know what kind of great player he is, Calvin Ridley. But I think the thing for me, can we make him one-dimensional? Ty Gurley, we know there's been some knee issues along the way with him. That's why he's not with the Rams anymore. And he's really playing some pretty good football this year. How quick can he recover from playing on Sunday and then come back on Thursday night? That's something that I'm anxious to see. And if we can kind of control them into maybe more of a one-dimensional type of team and try to get after Matt with the pass rush and get some things happening and make some plays, because that game went down to the wire just a couple of weeks ago against Atlanta. So home crowd, get some juice going and look for a win. This team won 3 in a row. There's nothing greater than that. And you've had 2 tough losses in a row.
You sound great as always, Jake. We love talking to you. Appreciate your time, and come see us when you can.
Man, I wish I could come see you guys tomorrow or Thursday night, but that's just the way things are right now. But hopefully sooner rather than later. Thanks again. Yeah,
no doubt. That time's coming. That's Jake DeLome on Panther Talk. Stay tuned. We'll continue with our show presented by Morris Jenkins. But first, this timeout.
This is Panther Talk, presented by Morris Jenkins on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
Kamara swings out of the backfield in motion to the right. Breeze all alone.
Panthers right four,
and Burns gets their backside. Ball is loose. Burns with the strip sack, recovered by Haynes. Toss sweep coming right. Moore. First down and a touchdown. Carolina leads.
When you lose a game, you know, obviously you're disappointed, but there's good things and that you have to build on. When you win a game, there's bad things that you have to correct. And so you have to just keep telling the truth. And we did a lot of good things today. That being said, situationally at the end of the game, you know, we can't take a sack and get us out of field goal range. You know, we have to stop the run. We have to win third down in the red zone. So there's things that have to get better. I'm proud of this group. I think, you know, from where they were week one to now, they've come a long, long, long way.
Panther Talk, presented by Morris Jenkins, continues on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
The general manager of the Carolina Panthers, Marty Herney, ducks into our Panther Talk huddle. Who played well in the New Orleans Saints game from a Panther perspective yesterday, Marty?
I think you got to start with Teddy Bridgewater, Mick. I mean, 83% of his passes and, you know, made some plays, got out of pressure and got a big, you know, first down, scrambling on third down. Unfortunately, we couldn't finish that final drive off, but I think that he played extremely well. I think that Taylor Moton, you know, you can say it every week, but Taylor keeps really playing at a very high level, I think, at right tackle for us. Ryan Burns obviously made some difference-making plays. And I think Sam Franklin, for his first start, he did some good things. So there were a lot of guys. I always hate leaving people out, but as compared to the week before where we said, you know, we have a formula and we didn't do a lot of those things, I think we did a lot of good things as far as the formula goes this weekend and yesterday. And you get tired of saying we're close, but you feel like we're so close. And the resiliency that this group shows every week is encouraging. I think that we're doing a lot of right things, heading in the right directions, have some good players, and have to continue to add personnel in certain spots. But you hate to lose. You hate to lose to a division opponent. It's just, but I feel like there were some real encouraging factors out of that game. Now you still got to win games.
Trade deadline is coming up. What's your overall philosophy, Marty, on trying to do deals mid-season?
Well, I think you're always talking to people. You're always making sure that there's not that deal out there that you're going to miss that you would like to have done. I think you just do a lot of listening, and people are doing the same thing. They call up and just trying to find out if there's anybody that you're shopping or you have that they need. But I think that with all the attention it gets, I don't think there's that many deals done every year. So we'll see what this year is like. But, you know, if you can improve yourself with the player and you think it's worth it, I think that you certainly think about it. And if there's value for the future for somebody that you think that you can trade, I think that you listen to people. We do not call around and shop players. We're not looking to trade players, but it's really just, you know, a bunch of conversations at this point. And I think that most deals don't get done until you get closer to the deadline, and I don't think there's a lot of deals that normally get done for the attention that the trade deadline gets.
Let's go back to Teddy Bridgewater for a moment, Marty. He has displayed not only that pocket awareness and ability to navigate and move about in the pocket and improve his position in the pocket, but also a burst, a suddenness to get out of jams if need be and figure something out. Has he surprised even you with the quick feet that he seems to have?
Really, you know, Mick, that's the first thing I said when I, you know, and we've looked at him for several years, and that's the first thing that jumps out at me is his feet in the pocket. I think they're elite, and I think we've had that conversation here before, is that his feet inside the pocket and his ability to move laterally and avoid pressure, I think is one of his many blue traits. And then, you know, just his vision, his mastery right now at the line of scrimmage, his ability to get rid of the ball quickly, his accuracy, you know, his arm strength. You saw the ball to DJ. He's playing extremely well right now. I think the one thing that he would tell you and we would tell you is that we want to get to the point where we, you know, finish those late game drives. And we did that a few weeks ago as far as icing the game. Now it's coming back and getting that go ahead score. And, you know, you feel like we're making a lot of progress toward being able to do that. He's got such a skill set. He's got such intangibles, and he's a leader, and we couldn't be happier.
Talking to Marty Herney on Panther Talk, just a couple last questions for the general manager of the Carolina Panthers. Not trying to lead you into any headaches, of course, but I don't want listeners to be mad at me if I don't ask you if you know anything or can say anything about the timetable for Christian McCaffrey's return.
Yeah, I really don't. I mean, leaving that up to the doctors, and when he's ready to come back, he'll come back. But I think that it's certainly a situation where you're not going to push it. You're going to wait until – and Christian's going to be the first one to know when he's ready. Believe me, he knows. He's so aware of his body, and he'll be able to know when to come back. And I think even he knows that it's, you know, in everybody's best interest to wait until he's ready and not rush back. So we'll just wait until we get that word. I really do not have an idea of when he'll get back. I have guesses, but that's all they are, is guesses.
Last question for you tonight on the show, Marty, and we always appreciate talking with you. It seems as though the Panthers are winning special teams, that now the sample size with seven games is large enough where we can conclude that Chase Blackburn knows what he's doing and his units have made a difference. Is that fair to say as you view it?
Very fair, and good timing after yesterday, because listen, they came into the game, their special teams are very good and have played a huge part in their success in winning games. And I thought our coverage units did a phenomenal job yesterday. And you know, it would have been fitting with as well as they played, it would have been fitting for that field goal to be about a half yard further. But Joey did a great job on that kick. I mean, before the game, as they always do, you know, you set a yard line where you have to be to consider kicking a field goal. In that situation, it was the 47-yard line. That's where the ball was spotted. That's why we tried, instead of 4th and 19, your chances aren't very good. And I tell you, he hit it well. It was right down the middle, and there was a time as the ball was in the air, and it always seems like it's in there forever, but you thought he had a chance and it just came up short. But our special teams played extremely well yesterday.
Achingly close on that field goal. It was incredible. And well described, Marty. I appreciate it. We'll let you get back to work. Thanks again, though, for being so generous with your time.
Always a pleasure, Mick. Thank you.
Marty Herney's segment is sponsored by FanDuel. Do you play FanDuel, the Zoke?
I don't currently. I have in the past when they were when we were doing the TV show.
Yeah, I remember that.
We did on that.
They've got the Gridiron Pick'em game, and it's free, and you can play it every week on your Panthers app, and you can win $1,000. So visit the Panthers store now to download your free app if you don't already have it, and then get your free account started and get ready for the next game. FanDuel, official partner of the Carolina Panthers.
So the Falcons come in Thursday night having lost their third game of the season, where they had a 98% win chance late in the game. Eugene, have you ever seen anything or heard of anything like it in professional football?
No, and we always say that winning is contagious and so is losing is contagious. And then what happens in the psyche of the Atlanta Falcon players is that you think that you can't win a game, that somehow someone's going to mess it up on defense or someone's going to mess it up on offense or it's going to be a special team mishap. That's what happens when you lose. You find ways to lose the game.
And even our game, they had a chance to make that a tie game, and then Matt Ryan gets intercepted by Burris in the end zone at the back of the end zone, that slant back there. That could have been, again, that's another back-breaking play. It wasn't like the last play, like the one that happened yesterday. But that was just, did you see it, Eugene? They just mishandled. I mean, they didn't have to even run plays. And, of course, what happens is Gurley falls into the end zone. They give the ball back to Detroit, and they come all the way down and score at the end. I mean, they totally could have handled the clock without ever giving the ball back.
And I thought that Gurley would actually take a knee on like the 2 or 3 yard
line.
Yeah,
well, you don't wait till the half yard line to go, whoa.
You know, just take the knee down there and then just run out the clock to secure the win. But this, you know, what I always say is that win is contagious and losing is contagious. And you find ways to go ahead and give the team the other win. You just find ways to do it whenever you're in a quandary that these guys find themselves in. Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing, though, as we go to break. Since the Panthers beat Atlanta 23-16 week 5, the two games since then, Matt Ryan has been on fire. I mean, he has thrown 5 touchdowns, no picks, thrown for over 700 yards, got a passer rating of 120, and he's completing 74.4% of his passes. That's the last two games, one a win, one an Atlanta loss.
And Julio's back.
Yeah, and Julio's back. Mm-hmm. So we'll break this down a little more when we come back. This is Panther Talk on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
This is Panther Talk, presented by Morris Jenkins on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
Zook, I think, you know, there's a bigness to all NFL games, part of why we love the National Football League. But I'm thinking it's really not possible to overhype Thursday night's game with all that is riding on. Now, it's not playoff implication game, but as far as regular season games go this early in the season, this seems huge to me. How do you feel about it?
You know, it's tough to lose a close game like you did Sunday against New Orleans, but then you have just 3 nights from now a chance to vindicate, feel better, and be 4-4 at the halfway point of the season, which I think a lot of people would have taken that at the beginning of the season and ran with it, to be 4-4 at the halfway point without the preseason and basically a new coaching staff coming in with so many new players. So, yeah, it's a big game, I think, for the Panthers. And obviously Atlanta, you just laid it out in that last segment. I mean, they've lost so many games. To lose that many close games means you were in all those games and should have won except for one moment in the game that happened against you. So clearly, Eugene, they're good enough to also be a team that should be about 4-4, except for the fact they didn't know how to close out a couple of games.
Yeah, and the problem is on defense, they're giving up 333 yards per game. I mean, that is a lot of yardage that you're giving up. And, I mean, it's almost trying to make a 4-foot putt every single time, and it's breaking left to right. You're not going to be able to make that putt. It's going to be very, very difficult. Nerves gets in, and so that's what I think the Atlanta Falcons find themselves in, is that, one, they can't stop anybody defensively, and even if they do put up a lot of points, the other squad could put up more points with just as many points. And then it comes down to who has that ball last. And so you never want it to be that, but that's what it's looked like for the Atlanta Falcons, and I hope those Wolves continue.
Fascinated with Teddy Bridgewater and his abilities in the pocket, not just to maneuver in the pocket and find places where he can slot to a throwing lane, but also to get out of there if need be. We'll talk about that with the Zook and Eugene when we come back and apply the final brushstrokes on tonight's Panther Talk show next.
A Panther doesn't quit when our backs are against the wall, when victory seems out of reach. And when Sunday arrives, we the fans find the power to keep pounding. Bank of America is proud to be the official bank of the Carolina Panthers and to make sure that no matter what, we never say die. Let's go Panthers! Copyright 2020, Bank of America Corporation.
What do you call a group of friends who wear the same jersey for good luck, no matter how old it is, and who support their team through thick and thin, week after week, as if the very season depended on it, all while tossing the pigskin and drinking Miller Lite? You call it Miller Time in the Carolinas. Here's to the original light beer. It's Miller Time. Celebrate responsibly. 2020 Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Last election, millions of voters were unable to cast their ballots. Why? No game plan.
It's time to make a play. Let's go, let's go, let's go.
NFL Votes is a league-wide initiative to support and encourage voter education, registration, and activation efforts of players, clubs, and fans from now until Election Day.
That's what we do.
It's our time.
Join the NFL family by making your game plan today and making your voice heard this November.
Yes!
Visit NFL.com/votes to learn more.
Make a play for Harris Cherokee Casinos, the official casino partner of the Carolina Panthers. Get your game on in Murphy or Cherokee, North Carolina, with slots, craps, blackjack, and more. Choose your getaway by visiting harrischerokee.com for details.
Must be 21 years of age or older to enter the casino floor and to gamble, and must present a valid state or federal photo ID upon request. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. An enterprise of the Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians.
If your game plan for this season includes buying or selling a home, we have you covered. For 14 years, Alan Tate has been the official realtor of the Carolina Panthers. Alan Tate is the number one real estate company in the Carolinas with 45 local offices. Alan Tate delivers a winning strategy to help make your homeownership dreams a reality, including real estate, mortgage, insurance, and relocation services. There's no better time to buy or sell a home, and there's no better company than Alan Tate.
Smart decisions bring the biggest returns. Like the 2020 GMC Sierra, built on a foundation of professional-grade engineering that brings a strong performance year after year, offering the world's first multi-pro tailgate. This tailgate takes innovation to the next level with six distinct functions that let you load, unload, and access the cargo box quicker and easier. Test drive a 2020 GMC Sierra today and experience a wise investment that really delivers. GMC, professional-grade truck of the Carolina Panthers.
Panther Talk, presented by Morris Jenkins, continues on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
Couple of minutes left. 3-4 Carolina Panthers try to get to 500 at the halfway mark with the greatly detested Atlanta Falcons coming in here Thursday night. Anything about Teddy Bridgewater's game, Eugene, surprise you so far?
His accuracy. I mean, he's at 72% throwing the rock. I mean, that is absolutely insane. That's incredible. I mean, I know his quarterback rating is right around 100, but the fact that he's very careful with the ball, doesn't really throw any interceptions. I mean, he steps up in the pocket. He surveys the field. And I made a living watching quarterbacks and learning the idiosyncrasies and the nuances of quarterbacks. He is a polished quarterback. I mean, when he takes the stage, he's just really, really good. And you know he's going to deliver the ball and deliver the ball where it needs to be. And so I really like what I'm seeing. I like what he's selling.
He actually had a higher quarterback rating in that game yesterday than Drew Brees did. His was 128 and Brees was 118 in that game yesterday. And so I thought he played really toe-for-toe against Drew Brees as far as ability to play. Eugene, just to take that one negative play, though, the sack, does it just have to get out regardless of circumstance? Obviously, the O-line, Mike Davis could have helped him out there, but that just to take that one play with the kind of the field goal on the line, was that so critical that he just needed to somehow get rid of that?
Yeah, but I think you got to credit that to the left side of the line and the running back, if I'm being really honest, because they're rushing, and they got a little stunt that's coming inside. You want the bigs to stay on the bigs, and you want the running back to go ahead and get on the defensive back who's coming off the edge. That's what should be that's the easier matchup. And now you had a running back, Mike Davis, on a real big, and Teddy was stepping up in the pocket, never really saw it. And so, yes, you don't want to take a sack, but you're hoping that they work that out on the outside to give him the time to throw the ball, because I thought he was just getting into rhythm to get ready to throw the rock.
Bridgewater, I think, had Samuel long and left. Samuel had inside leverage. I think Bridgewater, in that instant, was thinking, when he might have been thinking check it down or throw it away, saw that and was thinking touchdown, and that extra half a beat could have been costly. Good show, guys. Also want to thank Byron and Wendell, DL here in the studio, for Jim Zoki, for Eugene Robinson. This is Mick Mixon. Also want to thank Coach Rivera for being our guest, Jake DeLome, and Marty Herney. It's been a good show. This is Panther Talk, and we'll see you Thursday night for football, and then right back here Monday for more of this same kind of radio extravaganza on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
This has been Panther Talk with head coach Matt Rhule, presented by Morris Jenkins. Mr. Jenkins told me that he loves football and he looks forward to this show all week. When your plumbing or air conditioning is acting up, call Morris Jenkins or visit morrisjenkins.com.
Panther Talk.
Panther Talk.
Panther Talk.
This is the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
Monday, it's a new episode of All Rise, the legal drama where one judge is shaking up the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor,
we're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench, everything is different.
A new episode of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake. It's important.
Followed by a new episode of Bull, Monday at 9, 8 central on CBS.
Hackers are after your business data. I can help. I am Vi, the virtual intelligence assistant at Virtual Armor.
Virtual Armor, partnered with Juniper Networks, provides cybersecurity services and end-to-end solutions to keep what's yours, yours. Defend yourself with managed firewall and managed SIM essential core services that are economical and efficient. Virtual Armor goes beyond just initial alerting to provide a thorough report on threats, vulnerabilities, and results.
Let me help protect you. Contact me at justaskvi. That's vi.com.